You're listening to RE Snapshots with Jessica Strauss. Each month we chat about the science behind the weeds and decode some of the trickier concepts which crop up.
Welcome to RE Snapshots. I'm Jessica Strauss. In this episode, we're catching up with visiting Associate Professor Todd Gaines. Todd is from Colorado State University and is currently working from UWA with the RE team. Next month, he'll be at the International Plant and Animal Genome Australia Conference in Perth City, where he's organising a two-hour session of invited talks. Todd is also organising a subsequent workshop at UWA on the 22nd of September, which will have the theme, "We Have Weed Genomes, But What do we do now?" While herbicides are the most effective and widely adopted weed management practice, the evolution of multiple herbicide resistance in damaging weed species threatens the yield and profitability of many crops, and we all know that on this podcast. Todd is an expert in how genomics and molecular biology can contribute to improving weed management. He'll be explaining in this chat what the focus will be at these upcoming events, and we'll learn a bit more about all of this genomics and how it all fits together. He joins me now. How are you going, Todd?
Doing great, Jess. Yeah, thanks. It's great to be here chatting with you today.
Yeah, same. We had a little, you recently went to Exmouth, which is in the north of WA, and did some snorkeling, and I'm going there soon. So we had a little bit of a pre-chat about that, which was nice. Are you enjoying your time in Perth and surround so far?
It's been fantastic so far. Yeah. And that trip to Exmouth was such a highlight. This whole year is amazing. I have the opportunity to be on sabbatical leave from Colorado State University. And so my wife and I were over here with our three kids and they're in school, which is just a fantastic experience. And, you know, it's been interesting to get to know Perth in a different way. In the past, I was here as a younger person without kids and really got to have a lot of great experiences that way. And now kind of seeing what it's like for kids and young families here, that also WA is a great place. So many things to do, you know, of course, taking the kids out to Rottnest and riding bikes around and seeing quokkas and time along the coast and the beaches. It's just been amazing.
Awesome, Todd. Well, you know, maybe you'll end up living here one day. You never know. So what have you been focusing on in your research, though, while you've been working out of RE?
So during this year, I've been able to kind of take some time to think about the bigger picture of research and where is the future going? What kind of things do I want to be working on? So with RE in particular, I've had some fun. I've got to hang with Roberto Bussi and, you know, literally try to keep up with him, going on a few runs around King Park, sort of a fool's errand, but I keep trying. And then also learning about what he's been doing with herbicide mixtures and particularly some of these interesting things, looking at paraquat resistance and how different mixtures can be used to potentially overcome and manage that, and just trying to think about what is going on there. I've also had the chance to talk to Chin Yu and the molecular team here in RE and think about, you know, they have so many interesting projects going on. One in particular is for Johnson grass, which is, of course, more of a summer weed and places in the north of Australia, but thinking about glyphosate resistance in that species. And she's been working with a group in China to map that genome. This is one that actually, as part of the International Weed Genomics Consortium, which I've been involved with for several years, that consortium actually wasn't able to get to a good assembly for Johnson grass. It was one of the most incredibly complex genomes that we've worked with for a number of reasons. So her collaborators have been able to crack that code, which is fantastic. And so now I'm talking to her about, you know, what happens next and where we can do with that. So that's been a lot of fun. In general, I mentioned the International Weed Genomics Consortium. So I spent a lot of time here thinking about, we have these weed genomes, we need to get them reported out, how to manage that. You know, it's a big group of people working together. So just all the moving parts. We have some email newsletters, we have a website. So kind of making sure the communication is happening. And also thinking about the next phase of that consortium. We've got through a phase where by the end of this, we're going to have at least 51 weed species with their genomes mapped out. So that's exciting. Next comes, what do we do with that? If you think of, you know, this genome map, at the moment, a lot of them are kind of like if you had a roadmap, but it didn't have the names of the towns or the names of the streets. It's somewhat useful, but you need to have that next layer of information. And that's what we're working on, is to understand, where are the genes in this genome? What are they? How are they working? And that's another layer of information. It's the next challenge, but really excited that the group will be able to take that on. And then the last thing is, I'm able to have some time to kind of think about some of this genomics data, and particularly for ryegrass. You know, there's a funny story with the Genomics Consortium. We're working with Corteva Agriscience, and they have a genomics group that's in Iowa. And this group has been kind of world leaders in particularly crop genome sequencing for a long time. And of course, they're thinking about crop breeding, corn, soybean, other crops. So they have some great experts there. And we've been working with them with ryegrass from Australia. And as we're sending them different individuals, they're often looking at the data and saying, these two samples are not from the same species. You've made a mistake. And we often talk about ryegrass is so genetically diverse, but at the genomic level, it truly is. There's something very different going on with ryegrass. And that's something I want to dig into. And I think that'll be a future collaboration with Ari as well to kind of get our heads around that.
Very interesting. And as we mentioned in the intro there, you've got two big events coming up. The first one will be a workshop you're organizing and moderating at the PAG Australia conference. What will be the key areas of discussion at this workshop?
So the PAG Australia conference at Plant and Animal Genome, this has been a marquee conference that has been going on since the late 90s in San Diego in the U.S. So it's always in January, which is a nice time in the U.S. People are ready to get to San Diego, a little warmer spot. And it's where you find out about the latest progress, particularly from the industry side in sequencing. Companies like Illumina and Pacific Biosciences often announce their latest platform. As a researcher, you could go there and maybe get some free samples or, you know, just understand all the different technology from different things you might work with in the lab to these platforms you might work with, how you analyze it. You know, it's a place to get inspired and to see what is the truly, you know, the latest research, things people are working on, the most difficult questions, and then take that back to your own work. There's been a workshop at that PAG meeting in San Diego for a long time on weed genomics, and it's been a place where people can come together and share ideas and think about what to do. So now this is the first PAG meeting in Australia and actually in the Southern Hemisphere. So that's quite exciting. And I think it'll be the chance for across the Australian and broader Asia Pacific region for researchers to come together around the same question. Within our workshop on weed genomics, we've invited some really world-leading people to come and talk about what they're doing. So it's that chance to hear some of the best science, for people to get excited, get inspired. There will be some stories about how can we understand complex things like metabolic resistance, which, of course, you've done some stories on that with the RE team, but ranging from what are the genes involved, how are they controlled, but people, you know, now utilizing the full power of a reference genome and other approaches as well to dig into that question. There will also be a great talk about the ryegrass genome that's recently been done here in Australia by CSIRO and collaborators, and how that's being used for resistance diagnostics now in a project moving ahead. There'll also be a talk about how we can use genomics to understand invasive weeds. You know, if you think of weeds in the environment and those kind of questions, also a big issue here. So yeah, it's going to be a very exciting and inspiring session.
Very cool. And an opportunity for guests to go and get a quick selfie after the conference, I'm sure.
Absolutely. We'll recommend that for everyone.
Got to do the bit for Australian tourism as well, Todd. That's important too. And Todd, there's going to be some significant opportunities for weed genomics and molecular biology to contribute to improving weed management, as you've kind of highlighted there in some of the discussion points that will be happening at that PAG conference. What are the key principles of how weed genomics can be applied to help manage weeds? Not a simple question, but if you could just give a broad overview of, you know, how it will fit.
Yeah, this is something that certainly people have been thinking about and talking about for a long time. How can we take this promise of a genome and all that potential and really deliver something, you know, that helps someone make a decision or leads to a new technology that can actually be used on the farm? One of the first areas where this is happening is to have better diagnostics, particularly for resistance. If we can get that kind of diagnostic information faster, something that can be used in the field, maybe even something like a rat test. You know, we have these rapid antigen lateral flow tests that can be possible for herbicide resistance. And then can you use that information then to say, okay, we shouldn't use herbicide X because it won't work. We can use herbicide Y. That's where we want to go and have faster and better information. As we're understanding more about resistance mechanisms and using genomes to do that, we hope that that can help us understand and find ways to counteract. You know, can we find ways to knock out metabolic resistance? Can we find a way to have a new creative mixture that has a synergy because we can understand the mechanism, how that might work to overcome resistance? Then, of course, an exciting area is thinking about new technologies. And I know, you know, it's can be an easy thing to promise and a harder thing to deliver on. But we know that there is active investment in new herbicide discovery, both from major crop protection companies and increasingly in the startup sector, which is exciting to see. So both can weed genomes, there's certainly ways that they could help that new herbicide discovery actually have the sequence of the targets that companies might be going after that might help them in their initial assays, testing things. We could also proactively think about resistance management. As these new herbicides are being discovered, can we have a much broader understanding of metabolic resistance so that maybe there can be designs built into those herbicides to help counteract that, or things that are included in the mixture to help delay and proactively address metabolic resistance? Then an area that I've spent a lot of time thinking about and talking to people here about as well is, can we use RNA targeting? And your listeners might have heard of RNAi before. That's one way. So you can apply an RNA molecule to a plant that would target the expression of one of its genes and knock it down. There's another pathway that uses antisense oligonucleotides, very nice, approachable word. But it is, again, a very interesting thing. It's a natural process in cells, including plant cells, but we can use this short oligo that's DNA to target the expression of a gene and knock it down. And potentially, can we reverse resistance? Could we have products that would be a standalone herbicide in a way? That's where, again, the genomes are completely necessary to make that work, but we could start to have things that would be very specific for weeds, very safe for crops, and very safe for people and everything in the environment. So as we look ahead to future expectations from society and regulatory requirements, that kind of RNA targeting technology may have a good fit as we move ahead, thinking, you know, the next 20 years of weed management.
Very cool. Very good explanation as well, Todd. And the theme at your UWA workshop will be, we have weed genomes, but what do we do now? And you've kind of talked about that in that last question, Todd. But, you know, are there any other next steps in terms of utilizing this information in a practical sense? You know, what are the timelines, I guess? I mean, you mentioned 20 over the next 20 years there, but what are some of the timelines that, you know, some of this stuff can become a reality, do you think?
What we're doing in this workshop in particular is to have the chance, all these people will have traveled to Perth, whether from interstate, overseas. The PAG workshop gives us kind of the formal academic talks and hear the data. This workshop that'll be at UWA will give us a chance to sit down, really dig into the questions and have some discussions, because there are many, many things that we could do. What's the priority and where should the investment be? So out of this workshop, we hope to identify, you know, bring together the experts and people working in this, various stakeholders, understand, you know, what are, you know, maybe two or three things that we can do and help make the case to who may be funding that it also is important and relevant to them. Because again, we have these genomes and we've been thinking about what to do, but now is really time to deliver on this potential. And again, thinking about what's most feasible, what are the priorities, and how do we actually launch that? Part of it also will have the function of helping to coordinate research so that people might know, oh, somebody else there is working on that. I can team up with them. Or they've got that bit done, that resource is completed. I don't need to spend my time on that. I can work on the next piece. Help build some collaborations. For example, there are people at CSIRO who are working on the different weed genomes and thinking about pest genomes in particular. They have a lot of expertise. They'll be here, people from DPIRT and WA, maybe equivalent agencies in other states, the state ag departments, people from universities, from GRDC, again, to come together and think what's most important for different people and hopefully then be able to identify some specific questions that we can really drill into. For example, something that has been out there for a long time. You think Professor Powles was working on paraquat resistance in the 80s. And to some extent, we still don't have a solid mechanistic understanding of how paraquat resistance works. Yeah. If we did, perhaps then that gives us insights to how can we overcome it, or how maybe to explain, again, some of these interesting mixtures that seem to be overcoming it. So with reference genomes, maybe now there's a path to crack what is, you know, one of the most difficult research questions that's been out there for a while. Then to really also get into the details of, okay, how do we do that and what is the timeline? For example, you know, maybe you need to make a cross, you have a genetic mapping population, you do some sequencing, phenotyping, genotyping, you map it, you have some candidate genes, you test those. You know, that process itself can take anywhere from 2 to 4 years potentially. And then out of that, then you have new information and you need to reassess, okay, now what do we do with this from the technology side to address it? Also, some of the bigger picture questions that are out there that are perhaps more complex, but could be very interesting in the longer term. Could we actually interfere with weed pollination and seed production? You know, could we have products, whether they're RNA targeting, small molecule chemistry, anything, but if we understand more about that from the genomic side, can we manipulate dormancy? You know, for example, could you get all the seeds to germinate at the same time? And that's been a question people have talked about, but perhaps we can move to a higher level of understanding of that so we can make it work. You hear a lot about the microbiome, you know, related to human health, the environment. Well, weeds certainly have a microbiome as well. Are there certain aspects of that that could be managed to suppress weeds and help crops to thrive? Maybe that's a question that can be done. You may have heard talk about gene drives. You know, could we drive a weed population to not shatter its seed, for example, or maybe to reverse herbicide resistance in a population? We need weed genomes to help support that type of work. And then finally, something that just, you know, will be part of the discussion, but can we think about something like personalized weed management? You know, knowing that different fields, different farms, weed populations may have individual differences in terms of the resistance that's there, the mechanisms, the weed species, the history of management. So when we start to build those layers of data, and then this, of course, stretches across precision agriculture, digital agriculture, but can we bring in, you know, resistance testing, sequence data, start to understand gene flow and come to a picture of, more complete picture of what's happening at any individual, perhaps at the regional scale, the local scale, the farm scale, and have much more customized and therefore effective weed management options at various levels. So that's where those are the kind of things we'll be talking about. And again, I've listed a lot of things, and can all of these happen? What's a priority? Where do those priorities tie to the funding opportunities and interests of the funding bodies? But again, to help bring this together and coordinate and find ways in which the available resources can be harnessed to find some success in these areas.
Yeah, no, it sounds very exciting, and really it's going to hopefully have some really good outcomes, and it'll be exciting to follow up with you in the next few months to see what some of the directions are that kind of come about due to these workshops. And Todd, these events are happening in September. There's a bit of time if people are listening and thinking, I need to be at these events. How do people come along?
You can come along for the PAG Australia meeting. There are other events going on with that as well. It's a 3-day conference. I think at least 7 keynote speakers, which will be quite fascinating. And if listeners are interested in animal genomics, there will be animal breeders talking. So it really will be a lot of the most cutting edge science of how to use genomics for animal health as well as plant health, plant breeding. So there will be some fascinating topics, and those keynote speakers will be, I think, pretty accessible. It'll be high level science, but also a lot of the why and the explanation of why it matters. So you can go to the PAG Australia website and find out more about the registration for that conference, which would include the weed genomics workshop. And I think people attending are also going to have some posters. So there's what should be a big poster session associated with the conference. For the more informal workshop here at UWA, we have a registration information available on the RE website, so people can check that out. It will be, you know, a very kind of hands-on conference. We'll be talking and looking for everyone attending to contribute ideas. So, you know, certainly if someone listening has some ideas and thinks, you know, here are some priorities, here are ways that we genomics can address that, we'd love to have those voices in the room. For myself, I'm really excited because I have a lot of longtime friends and new acquaintances as well who are coming along. So this meeting will be a reunion in sorts of as well from, you know, as we're still coming out of the pandemic times of not as much travel to just get to actually see these people who I'm always emailing or talking to on Zoom to actually get in the room together and have a chance at another WA cultural icon of a conference as well. The Sundowner will be looking forward to those along with these conferences. So
awesome, Todd. And yeah, like I said, we'll follow up with you to hear what the developments are out of these workshops, but really exciting area of weed science. So thank you for sharing some of the updates.
Yeah, it's great to chat today, Jess. And it's always fun to be at a point where there is something new and there's been really substantial progress in this area over the last several years, which is great to see. And it's exciting to think about that timeline, you know, over the next 5 to 10 years of what new discoveries we'll be looking at.